Ms. Bailey.
Fire when ready.
May it please the court, my name is Victoria Bailey. I'm from the Indiana Federal Community Defender's Office, and I'm here today on behalf of David Allen. This case comes before the court on direct appeal of Mr. Allen's convictions of being a felon in possession of a firearm and a felon in possession of ammunition. The issue before the court today is whether the evidence presented at Mr. Allen's bench trial was sufficient for the judge to have found, beyond a reasonable doubt, that Mr. Allen had in fact suffered a prior felony conviction. It was not. Accordingly, Mr. Allen asked the court to reverse the judgments of conviction entered against him. The proof offered by the government of the felony conviction element of the 922 G1 charges consisted of three exhibits and one witness. Government's Exhibit 1 was the abstract of judgment, dated January 6, 1995, showing that a person named David L. Allen was convicted of dealing cocaine and carrying a handgun without a license. Government's Exhibit 2 was a bookend slip from an arrest from a warrant in 1999 of Mr. Allen, the appellant in this case. Government's Exhibit 3 is a set of fingerprints taken from Mr. Allen the morning of his trial. The government's position at trial was that because the fingerprint from Exhibit 3 matched the fingerprint on the bookend slip, or Exhibit 2, and that because the cause number and name on Exhibit 2 matched the abstract of judgment, Exhibit 1, that Mr. Allen in this case must have been the Mr. Allen who was convicted in 1995. However, the evidence was not sufficient for the judge to have made that determination beyond a reasonable doubt. At most, what the bookend slip, what Exhibit 2 demonstrates, is that Mr. Allen was arrested on a warrant related in some way to the 1995 conviction. It was the same cause number. It was the government's duty to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the Mr. Allen whose case is before you today was the same Mr. Allen who was convicted in 1995. They did not do so. The fingerprint evidence shows that Mr. Allen is the person who was arrested on the 1999 warrant, not the same person arrested in 1995, and certainly not the same person convicted.
The original conviction record has no other identifying information about the defendant.
That is correct, Your Honor. There is a name and a cause number, and that is it. Additionally, the charges that are listed on Government's Exhibit 2 do not even match the charges listed on the abstract of judgment. The conviction was for, as I stated earlier, dealing cocaine and carrying a firearm, carrying a handgun without a license. The charges listed for the cause number on the bookend slip are A, felony possession of cocaine, or dealing cocaine, excuse me, and B, felony dealing of cocaine. There's no mention of any charge about carrying a handgun without a license. The government asked the judge to draw a conclusion from Exhibits 1, 2, and 3 that Mr. Allen was the same David Allen who was convicted in 1995. This is not the type of evidence from which the court could have drawn this conclusion. Evidence of the disposition of the 1999 warrant, if shown, could have been such evidence, but it was not presented. The judge was asked to draw conclusions without evidence and made a conclusion that Mr. Allen was this person when in fact he was not. The level of certainty was not such that the judge could have made this finding beyond a reasonable doubt. As presented,
how often does this happen, counsel? What's usually the method of proof in this situation?
Your Honor, I can't speak for how the government would regularly prove their case, but I could say there were a number of things that if present or in existence, could have been presented. They could have presented a bookend slip with information on it from the original arrest prior to the conviction. They could have called an officer who either arrested him on the initial charge or testified at the trial. There could have been some evidence conclusively linking him to the 1995 conviction beyond the fact of his name.
There really is no standard method of doing this in the ordinary course? It really varies case to case?
I would say that it varies case to case, Your Honor. I believe that the government could speak better, though, to how they would normally present such evidence. As presented and demonstrated in the record, there was insufficient evidence legally insufficient evidence for the court to have found that Mr. Allen, the appellant in this case, was the Mr. Allen who was convicted on the 1995 charge.
If you win, is there a double jeopardy bar to retrial because of the sufficiency of the evidence challenge on appeal?
Yes, we're asking to reverse, and it's our position that he could not be retried. If there are no further questions.
Thank you, Ms. Bailey. Mr. Morrison?
To please the court, counsel, my name is Timothy M. Morrison. I'm representing the government in this case. Judge Hamilton's verdict should only be overturned if the record contains no evidence, no matter how it's weighed, from which the district court could have found David Allen suffered the felony conviction and alleged in the indictment.
No, I think not any of them. Isn't it a proof beyond a reasonable doubt, Alfred?
Yes, it is proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
All right.
But
then your just statement you just made that there is there's any evidence, it has to be
from which he could have found beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
Right.
But any evidence has to be something more than simply the guy's name, doesn't it?
It does. And
what
I believe,
else do we got?
I believe that we cited the Gravatt case to that extent, because Gravatt indicates that just the information alone or just the judgment and conviction is insufficient.
Yeah.
In fact, you need something else.
What else?
Here we have a fingerprint which was tied to the...
We chase our tail around the flagpole with this.
Not really, Your Honor.
The fingerprint was taken at a time not involving that conviction.
No, the fingerprint was taken at a time involving a post-conviction arrest on that case.
Yeah.
Right.
Correct, but not on that conviction.
And I would disagree. I would say that it is on
that
conviction.
Tell me about it.
The cause numbers in the Marion County system are unique, and this arrest...
So it's that that makes it... The numbering system is what makes it so important.
In combination, because the numbering system under which he was arrested...
Has there ever been a mistake in the numbering system?
There can be mistakes in the numbering system.
Are you aware of any?
Am I aware of any? No.
Uh-huh.
Personally, has it happened? No. I've not seen that. Is it possible? Certainly it's possible.
Even if it was an arrest on that conviction, counsel, it doesn't establish that it's the same guy, that you got the right David Allen. Or that the authorities got the right David Allen.
Well, the record still sits there as of 5 years hence.
Yeah. Wouldn't it have been relatively simple to bring somebody in who could identify him? You're all in the same area. He wasn't convicted. It isn't like bringing some, of course, and it's the federal government involved. They've got jurisdiction on their own. In addition to which, they run the printing presses to print the money to get the people here. So why?
Well, the quality of evidence with court records has some practical application there, because what you have is, you would think that bringing in somebody to identify an individual would it still runs the same risk that you do with any eyewitness identification. Memory.
Well, yeah, but at least you've got somebody who says, yeah, that's the guy.
Perhaps that you have someone who can identify the individual.
Well, look at all the people you've got. You've got a prosecutor, you've got the cops, you've got the... court attachés, you got the court reporter, all of those people are available to you. And that janitor who booked him in.
But the most accurate evidence is the fingerprint. That would be the most accurate evidence.
We're back to Judge Sykes' question about the fingerprint and its authenticity and what the definition.
I believe the judge is entitled, absent anything else, to view those arrest records.
Well, that's the issue.
Yes. Yeah. I believe the judge is entitled to view those arrest records as reliable. Absent anything else?
Nobody's arguing about the record. It's tying it to the defendant that makes the important issue.
Correct. And the record, if in fact he was arrested under that cause for a post-conviction, the record demonstrates he was on probation. He was on probation at the time of the arrest. I noted from defense counsel's statement that there was no mention of the firearms charge on the arrest slip. But if the court will note, and from Government's Exhibit 1, there was no probation for that either. There was no reason. Any time on that misdemeanor sentence had been served, there's no reason to list that. What we had here was a post-conviction arrest, which is listed and is tied to that cause number, and that's what the government believes would establish beyond a reasonable doubt that that the defendant was tied to that case, because it is a unique cause number. It follows the defendant wherever he goes on that individual case. And here, a few years after, while he was on probation, he was arrested for a post-conviction arrest in that circumstance. And that's what the government believes ties it to that offense.
Interesting.
There's nothing else. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Morrison. Ms. Bailey?
Just one point briefly on rebuttal, Your Honor. The fingerprint at issue, there are two fingerprints. There's one fingerprint, a right thumbprint, on the booking slip from the 1999 arrest, and then a set of fingerprints, which was Government's Exhibit 3, that was taken the morning of trial. And the fingerprints do match. But all that shows is that David Allen, whose fingerprints were taken, our client, was arrested on the 1999 warrant. They could have just as easily gotten him to the police department and taken that fingerprint and said, oh, we apologize, you're not the person who was convicted. There are other persons by the name of David Allen who live in the Indianapolis area. The name alone is not enough to tie him to the 1995 conviction, and we would respectfully request this court reverse.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Bailey. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will stand in recess.